So we're going to move into the book of John, guys. So I would encourage you, start reading the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John takes Jesus' life from the perspective of the Son of God. The other Gospels call him the Son of Man. He's more often called the Son of Man than the Son of God, which means he just relates to us. Okay? But he is the Son of God. And let me say this very clearly. He is the only Son of God. Don't get confused with other religions that might say, oh, there's more. No, there's not. You know, that's what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? There's more. Let's just eat of this forbidden fruit, because I think there's more than what God's letting us in on. And when you get into that, let me see if there's more, then you start looking for experiences. You start looking to maybe, oh, I need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, what is that? Well, if you are a believer, you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I didn't go screaming in tongues. Well, that you don't have to. That was a one-time occurrence at Pentecost. You know, and so, you know, we don't have to get caught up on all this trappings. And I call them religious trappings because that's what they are. Let me close this door. Because every denomination, and this is why I like to say we're non-denominational. You know, I mean, we have Southern Baptists on our foundational roots, but I don't tell people that, because as soon as you tell people you're Southern Baptist, they put you in a little box. Oh, you believe this and don't believe that, and you believe that. No, 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 no. Okay? So I like to further say we are a church without religion. Without religion. We are all about Jesus and his love and his grace. Can I say it anymore? And I'm going to preach this till I die. And when they interviewed me on the radio station the other day, they caught that little thing that I said, preach or die, and said, where'd you come up with that? And I explained it to them. And I won't go into it. It's a long story. But I said, you know, preach or die. You know, and you don't have to be a preacher to preach or die. Your life is a living testament of the Holy Spirit. You are a light unto men. You know, and we don't have to, you know, get all religious like some people want you to be. Dress a certain way, talk a certain way. You know, I can't wait to get to the kingdom and just see all the different diversities of people from all tribes and all over the world. That religious people say, oh, you would have never made it in my church. But somehow they got to heaven. Kind of crazy, huh? So what's the word? We're going into John, the book of John. And just a real quick history on this. Most people think it was written by the Apostle John, who was brother of James. Now, this is not, I used to think John the Baptist wrote this, but this was actually John, one of the disciples, and he's writing about the life of Christ, and he's going to talk about seven signs that he calls them signs. We can call them miracles that Jesus is going to do. He documents seven different miracles in the book of John. We all know the first one, John chapter 2. What did he do? Changed the water to wine. That was his first miracle. We'll get to that as we go through. And, you know, and then there are a lot of, like, say, you know, a lot of people say, oh, well, it wasn't really wine. It was grape juice. Come on, guys. It was not only wine, it was the best. All right, so let's get it correctly. Now, should we go out and get drunk and celebrate? No. No, we should not. If you want to have a glass of wine, if you can do that without drinking the entire bottle, feel free to do that. But remember, we're free. We're not enslaved. That means we are free. If we want a glass of wine, we can drink a glass of wine. But we're not free to drink the whole winery. Okay? That puts you in bondage. That puts you back in slavery. Okay, so know your freedom. All right? Because people, I mean, you want to test your freedom, go out to eat with somebody. I love this. I go out to eat with a lot of different people when I'm working at the college. People from all over the country come in. Hey, Chuck, let's go get something to eat. I hadn't seen you in a year. Sure, let's go out. And we go out and we get a bunch of people. And everybody orders a cheeseburger and a beer or a Coke and French fries. And they get to you and say, I'll take a salad, please. Oh, man. all the people, what? How dare you? What? You're not going to eat what we're eating? What are you drinking? Water? Oh, you're only going to drink water? You don't want anything to drink? And then it's all the stuff starts falling in. They're looking at what you're doing. You're not conforming. And so let us please not conform to this world. And conforming to this world means conforming to religion. Have you paid your 10%? Nope. Have you paid your 10%? Then you're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. No. No. That's religion. So what's the word? You ever had anybody come up to you and say, what's the word? Have you ever had anybody say that though? What's the word? Yeah, Jesus. Well, that'll blow them away, Paul. Yeah, if you go up to somebody and say, what's the word? You go, and you say Jesus, whoa, that's a dividing stone right there. That's a stone that, a cup of trembling. The stone that they stumble over is the name of Jesus. So yeah, you throw out there Jesus, that can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. But when you explain to them what that means, they're either going to get highly offended or they're going to embrace it. Okay, so we say, what's the word? And we're going into John 1. I'll tell you what the word is. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now, there's so much in here, we can't even begin to dissect it, but we're going to try to go through it. So in the beginning was the word. Okay, and we're going to get this in a minute, because when we say, what's the word? It would be better to almost say, who's the word? Because who is the word is Jesus. He is the word. He gives us our words. Every word that cometh from our mouth is uttered because he gives us the breath to utter them. That is very scriptural. He gives us our next breath. We go through life taking it for granted that we're going to wake up the next day. You know, we prayed for Bill's friend who Thursday night left work with Bill saying, I'll see you in the morning. And he never showed up to work. And this guy can't be over 40 years old. And they found him dead in the basement of his girlfriend's hair salon. So you never know what's going to happen. You never know when your last breath is going to come. Are you ready? You know, and I get in discussion all the time. You believe in a rapture or you don't believe in a rapture? You believe? Who cares? The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for him, his second coming? Because that is a fact of the Bible. He is coming again. He says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to prepare a place for you, Chloe. And you know, and I like to talk about how it's been 2,000 years since he's been preparing this place. Imagine what that place is going to look like, especially when he spoke existence into creation in 6 days. In 6 days, he made all that was seen, that can be seen, and rested from it. And isn't it fascinating that on the sixth day he created man, and on the seventh day he told the man to rest? What came first, the man or the Sabbath? The man. And God created the Sabbath for the man to rest. How many people here need rest? Guess what? When you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can rest. He's our rest. We say, well, I was thinking more physically. Well, yeah, I think that way too. But we got to quit thinking physically and start thinking spiritually. Where's your home? Where's your home? Marie and I, you know, we love where we live, but we're always somehow, for some reason, looking at Zillow. Oh, what's over here? What's over there? And we start looking around. Oh, it's a beautiful house. We could buy this house for cash and we live in a home free and all this kind of stuff. And we're always looking at the temporal instead of thinking, you know, I'm only here another few years and then I'm out and you young ones are going to have to carry the torch, you know, and you're going to have to keep spreading the word because there is only one word, Jesus. And I love it. So what's the word? You know, and in Spanish, we'll say que fue. Okay, paso. Que fue, what's happened? What about it? And I actually said que fue to some people down in El Salvador one time in Colombia. My wife said, Chuck, that's kind of rude. What? Que fue? And she said, well, we don't really say it that way. But I got that from my buddy Carlos, he's kind of that way anyway. So I picked it up from Carlos. Carlos's fault. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. Now listen, the Word was God. Okay? And he's going to make it very clear in a moment who he's talking about here. Okay? Jesus was the Word. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Let's read it that way. And we have a hard time wrapping our mind around on this because we think about Father, Son, we think about Leighton, Daxton, two different people. And we think here again in the temporal, we don't think in the spiritual. How is that possible? You know, we've got God spoken of three ways in the Bible. We've got God the Father, we've got God the Son, and then we got his Spirit. Well, which one is he? He's all of those. Jesus is fully God, he was fully man, and he's fully God. How do you know he was fully God, Chuck? He never sinned. Can God ever sin? He was the only one to come and fulfill the law, born under the law. Born under the law. You got to do what Moses said, brother. This is why they got upset with him when he went around plucking the grain on the Sabbath day and healing people. You can't work on the Sabbath. That's punishable by death, knowing they're going to kill him anyway. Jesus knew his destiny when he hit planet Earth. He knew what he was going to do. He knew why he came. He came for a purpose. How many people have a purpose in your life? How many? God's got you doing what you're doing for a reason. And usually it's because you're good at it. So keep doing it. We had this discussion the other day on the radio station about following your heart and how many times I've been in arguments. And I say arguments. I don't argue anymore, guys. I really don't. I just throw the word out. And if you don't want to hear it, if you want to go with you, you know, I don't mind if we disagree on things. But we have to agree on salvation is by faith alone, by Christ alone. We cannot spend that. So when you hear it's by faith plus works, faith plus after everything you can do, faith plus going to a certain church, then run from that. Run away from that, because that leads to bondage and slavery and death. So what's the word? So the word, how God makes himself known and his will known. How would we know about God if we didn't have his word? You know how I know this book is true? How many people have tried to spin this and distort this and make up new word and take away, and how many people died for this Bible? Go back and read the history of how we got our Bible. Thousands of men died, hung, beheaded, because they wanted the word to get out. Who didn't want the word to get out? The church, the official church. Yeah, you got to do it our way. And so when the word, they knew if the word gets out, people are going to be blessed, they're going to be free, and they're going to be saved. And they're going to have hope. And the word is out, guys. Now we got it in all different languages. I was reading the other day, though, there's still like 2,000 languages that the Bible has not been translated in yet. Can you imagine? Let's put AI to work, right? What's that girl's name? AI? Let's put her to work. But, you know, God's word is going to go out, and he says, my word will not return void. It will accomplish what I sent it to do. And there's always going to be people that reject it, and there's always going to be people that receive it. Be the ones to receive it. Take it in and nourish on it. Eat of it. drink of it. You get discouraged. You get discouraged and think, here again, quit looking at your temporal problems. We're always going to have those. If I look at my temporal problems, I'm out. I just want to go sell all my stuff, get in my truck, and just go somewhere nobody knows me. Just run. But that's not the answer. Drugs is not the answer. Alcohol is not the answer. That's just a way of running. Say, God, help me. Here I am. You love me? Then help me. You have not because you ask not. Are we too proud to ask him for help? Are we so proud in ourselves that I got this. I can do this. I'm fine. And next thing you know, you're having a breakdown. Or you're thinking about putting a bullet in your head. Or life's driving you crazy. Wonder why. Have you spent any time with your Father? And we always, don't get me wrong, we're always with him. It's just we don't connect sometimes. He's always connected to us. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. He's always faithful. We're the ones that think, I got it. I can do this. I'm a man. I'm tough. No, you're not so tough. You know, God has put me on my knees, has put me on my face on the ground, crying like a little baby. I would have been embarrassed for people to see me. I'm sitting there crying in my apartment down in Miami for months, thinking, God, what has happened to my life? What is going on? Where am I going from here? My life is over. No, that's the devil talking. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? You're listening to him or you're listening to the devil? There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Say it with me. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Amen. We don't have to sit and think about, oh my God, I've fallen short. I'm not worthy. God doesn't love me anymore. He's disappointed in me. No, he always loves you and he's never disappointed in you. Why did he send his son? If you could do it and I could do it, why send your only son to die an agonizing death on the cross? You could just skip that part if we could do it, but we can't. So the word is how God makes himself and his will known. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And if you remember the story, the little boy was having a dream and he got up and he went and said, hey, did you call me? No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And it happened three times. And finally he said, it's the Lord is speaking to you. How many people have had the Lord speak to you in the early morning hours? Wonder why. It's always like in the early morning hours. And I don't say that's the only time God speaks, but it's because you're quiet. He has an audience now. Otherwise, as soon as we get up, a lot of us, first thing we'll do, Fox News, internet, Facebook. First thing we do, coffee. And then we're like off to the races. The rest of the day, it's answering text messages and emails and writing reports and talking to people. And then you get home at 9 o'clock at night and you say, man, I just need to relax for a second. And then you fall asleep. That's why Jesus, oftentimes, he had a small boat. And I could preach a whole sermon on this. Jesus had a small boat. And he would get in that boat and get away from the crowds. We all need a small boat. And it doesn't have to be one we put on Deer Creek and push out on. This can be a spiritual time where we just get away with the Lord. Quiet time. I know guys that like to hunt. One of the reasons they like to hunt, it's not so much as killing an animal, it's getting in the woods by themselves. Quiet. Peace and quiet. Nobody's demanding anything of you. Nobody's asking anything of you. Nobody's requiring anything of you. It's just you and your Father, the good Father. Amen. What's the word? Well, are you looking for good news or bad news? A lot of people, guys, we get caught up in this looking for bad news stuff. We start looking, we start being critical, and we start looking for, you know, the bad and the critical, and we get eat up with that. And even as believers, we can get eat up with that. We can start looking at each other's faults. And we can start looking at each other in a critical way. And then all of a sudden, well, I don't like that guy. Well, why don't you like him? Well, I don't know. I just don't like him. We had a guy at Fletchy that would come around. I think I told you guys a story before. He's always smiling. And he walks up to our breakfast table one day, and my boss, Randy Melman, said, who is that guy? I said, oh, that's Gary. You know Gary. I don't like that guy. I said, do you even know him, Randy? He said, no, I don't know him. But why? I said, why don't you like him? Because he's smiling all the time. I said, well, that's because he loves Jesus. And he did. And it bothered Randy that he loved Jesus so much. You ever had that? You ever seen that happen? When David danced before the Lord and his wife got all mad about it? What are you doing, debasing yourself as a common man and stripping off your kingly garments and dancing out there in front of the people and making a mockery of yourself? He said, I did it before the Lord. And you're going to see me get even more debased than this. Wow. That's a man who loved his God. There's nothing shameful about showing your love for the Lord. I love it when I see Cindy back up there singing and praising, and Maria and you guys out here singing and praising and worshiping the Lord. You know, we don't get a lot of opportunities to come together and sing. Let's raise our voices. I told Mike Gray at the church down in Canyons years ago, he said, what should we do different, Chuck? I said, turn the volume up, turn everything up, turn the preaching up, turn the music up. Jesus! Turn it up! Yeah, well, I don't want to offend anybody. You're going to offend people. His name is going to offend people. His grace is going to really offend people. When we talk about offensive, you preach grace, you are not going to be liked. And I pray for strength every time I come in here because I'm preaching grace. And that's all I'm ever going to preach. Because his name, their grace has a name. His name is Jesus. So the word is nothing but good news, I put up here. The word is nothing but good news. You say, what does God require of me? And what do I have to do? Believe. We're going to see later in John, when we get to John chapter 6, what is the will of God? What is the work of God? Well, actually, what is the work of God and what is the will of God? That you believe. And we say, well, that's simple. I can do that. But how many people don't? Or they say, yeah, I believe, but... And here we go. A long list of things here you got to do. That's called conformity. Religion requires conformity. Jesus does not. You can be you, Tanya. And he loves you just like you are. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool that we have a God that created us and loves us just like we are? And there's so many churches out there will say, blasphemy, Chuck, that's blasphemy. Have you ever heard this? He loves you like you are, but he loves you enough to change you. Have you ever heard that one? Yeah. You ever heard that one? Yeah. He's not going to leave you like you are. He's going to change you. How are we doing, guys? How are we doing on that change thing? Okay. Because, you know, I talk to people all the time. Well, I'm getting more and more sanctified. I'm getting more and more sanctified. No, you're not. Don't fool yourself. You're already sanctified. You're already justified. You have the blood or you don't have it. You claim the blood of Christ on you or you don't. You can't do anything to make the blood of Christ any cleaner. You can't do anything to make your life any more cleaner. You have the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. And let me ask you a question. Is his righteousness perfect or does it lack something? It's perfect. Therefore, you are. Because you have that. And people have a hard time accepting that they're perfect and holy in front of God. Well, I got to do something. I'm a sinner. You used to be a sinner. You're not anymore. You're saved. You're a new creation. You're born again in His image, like He created you. Amen? The Word is nothing but good news. So the Word is all you need. Sometimes you just need a word. Sean, sometimes you just need somebody to come up to you and say, Sean, I love you. You're doing good. You're doing great, man. Keep on pressing on. I got faith in you. Okay? Sometimes you need somebody to come and encourage you, Jeff. Sometimes you need somebody to encourage you. You're doing great. You're doing a great job. Keep on doing what you're doing. How many people need that? How many people need a word? Raise your hand.
Hugs, not drugs.
Hugs, not drugs. There we go. Let's put that on the church. We love that. But no, sometimes you just need a word. Who is the most important, precious person in the world that can give you a word, if not Jesus? Now, go read your Bible from that perspective, please. Go read your Bible from how much He loves you, not, oh, well, what I got to do, and I'm being this bad person, and, oh, He cannot possibly forgive me 550 times for the same thing. Who cannot? Who cannot? You cannot. God can. God can. How many people struggle with the same thing? How many? If you're honest, yeah. Because, you know, you think, oh, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I've conquered this. I've been to this behavioral school, and I've been to this program, and now I'm perfect. And then the next thing you know, you're on your face flat on the ground. And then that's why people give up on God. They give up on God because they say, well, God, I know I promised I wouldn't do this again, and I promised I wouldn't get in this situation again, and here I am in this very exact situation, and God's still smiling at you saying, I still love you. Now get up and go to work or whatever I've called you to do. Go do something. The Bible says go. Go in all the world. Spread the word, the good news. What's the word? Jesus. Everybody needs a word of encouragement. Everybody needs it. And why don't we just open our mouths and give it to somebody? You know? Amen. We have to encourage each other, guys, because the world's going to beat us up. And especially as believers, we have to encourage each other. It's okay. It's okay you stumbled. It's okay you fell down. God loves you, and I love you. And if God can love me, wow, I know He can love you. You don't know. How many people have somebody in your life say, well, you don't know what I've done, Chuck. I've had people come in, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been. God cannot possibly love me. Really? You're telling me there's something greater than the blood of Christ. Think again. Think again. So put the word on it. I said, put the word on it. Whatever's in your life that's beating you up and choking you out and drowning you, put the word on it. Jesus said, be still, waves. The waves are coming in the boat. The disciples are running around. We're going to drown. We're going to drown. Why are you asleep? Wake up. Don't you care about us? How many times is that our exact prayer? You could model a prayer after that, what the disciples went through in that boat. God, don't you hear me? Don't you see me? Don't you see what's going on in my life? Well, I'm drowning down here. This waves, this ocean, I'm going to be on the bottom of it in about 2 seconds if you don't do something. And God gets up and says, oh, you of little faith. Be still. And the waves are still. Put the word on it. Whatever the problem is, be still. Be still. God said so. Put the word on it. See what happens in your life when you start doing this. See what happens. How the peace of God will come into your heart and overwhelm you. And you won't be drowning from the waves anymore. You'll be drowning from the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah is correct. The word. What is the word? Creative. Creative. God spoke the word, let there be light. And there was light. And if you notice at the end of all the days in Genesis, if you go back and read the account, God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. Let there be trees and plants and animals and and everything he created. And God saw that it was good. And then he created man. And then he created man for rest. I love it that if you look at that analogy of 6 days, God's work, and he finished his work. And it said God rested from his work. And the seventh day he declared holy, a day of rest. And it wasn't until Moses' law came in many years later that was actually a law. But it was created, but God really gave the commandment in Genesis for the man to rest. So isn't it cool that God did all the work? Think about this. He did all the work. Man wasn't even created yet. And then he created man and told him to rest. Wow. And if you look at that, that's an analogy of what Christ did for us. He did all the work on the cross, hung there with nails in his hands and nails in his feet and a crown of thorns on his head. And then somebody has to add humiliation to it and stick a sword in his side. And he says, it's finished. Come rest in me. Come rest in me. Well, I didn't do nothing. Exactly. I did it for you. Is that not a love story? Is that not a love story? I did it for you to rest in me. Wow. He's sustaining. He's powerful. The word is powerful. It has healing. It gives life-giving. It gives light. It comforts. It accomplishes and succeeds. It produces faith. The word is creative. And we already went over this. Genesis 1, God said, let there be light, and there was light. The word sustains. Look at this. For when they maintain this, out of 2 Peter, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by the water. The word is powerful. I love this verse. And I actually went to the King James Version to pull this up. Because, trust me, if you ever want to like think seriously about going on hard drugs, go try to read the Bible in the King James Version. There are pastors out there that will say, if you're not reading the King James, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. Because the King James is the only inspired word. Not true. Translation is a translation. I would argue to say that the more modern day translations are more accurate than the King James because they go back from older manuscripts than the King James did. So this is not a discussion about what Bible version should you use. Read the one that you can understand. I just know the year I spent reading the King James was a horrible year for me. So I went back to, now I've got the Legacy Standard, but Christian Standard, English Standard, NASB is a great one. NASB is for like serious Bible scholars. You more of a word-for-word translation. ESV, same kind of thing. If you want to just get a kind of the general overall message, go read the Message Bible or the Good News for Modern Men or something. Kind of paraphrases it. But it's not for really good study. But I went back to the King James. For the word of God is quick. I like that. And powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word is healing. Matthew 12, then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. We know this story way too well. Stretch out your hand. Everybody do it. Now, was that hard? But we don't do that. We pull that hand back and we say, God, I got it. I got it. Yeah, thank you for another day, but I got it from here. We should have that hand stretched out all day long. I'm here, Lord. I'm here. My little puppy, Jennifer's little grandkid, My little puppy comes running up. He follows me from room to room. He knows when I go to get dressed. And he runs into the room and he's watching me get dressed and put my shoes on. And then the first thing he does is grab my pant leg. Don't forget me, Dad. Don't forget me. And it breaks my heart. It really does. I'm sounding like kind of like a soft guy, and I am. You don't have to encourage me. Don't forget me. Don't forget me, Dad. And he will follow me to the door. And if I, God forbid, I close the bathroom door, he's scratching that thing to get in there. And I'm like, he just loves me that much. I'm like, you know, how would it be? We just love God that much. We walk around like this all day. And somebody come up to you and say, what are you doing? I just don't want Jesus to forget me. I'm here. I want to stay with him. I want him to take me with him wherever he goes, whatever we do. So we walk around all day with our hands stretched out towards heaven. It's not that hard to do. But we get caught up in our own world and our own solutions and our own way of thinking. And we know what Proverbs says about that. There's a way that seems right to a man. Its end is death and destruction. We follow his lead. How do you know his lead, Chuck? Believe in him. Have faith in him. Say, Lord, you are my Lord. Jesus, I believe in you. Lead me. And he will. He will. He speaks in the unknown language, but unto you. His Spirit will speak to you. You have to listen. We go to test drive a boat 2 weeks ago. I got this every summer. I get this little wild thought in my mind that we need a boat. Now, I've owned 7 boats in my life, so I should know better. But I owned them when I lived in Florida and Georgia. We used them all the time. And I'm like, in Utah, what, it was about 3 months you can use a boat, really? Unless you want to freeze to death. Well, hey, look, Maria, let's go look at this boat. Why are we going to go look at a boat? I don't know. Let's go look at a boat. We go down to, I don't know, where was it? Payson, somewhere, way down below Utah Lake. We get this boat. Guy says, you want to test drive it? Sure. We put it out on the lake. It cranked up in the driveway with the rabbit ears on it and the water going. Soon as I got down off the boat, God spoke to me and says, Chuck, you're not going to buy this boat. You know how I know he spoke to me? Because I felt anxious. I felt anxious. This is not of God. I should feel peace. I felt anxious all of a sudden. I'm like, okay, God, I'm not going to buy this boat. But I'm going to test drive it anyway. So we go out to the lake. We put the boat in the lake. Oh, you want to drive it? Sure. Okay, I get behind the console, turn the key. Nothing. I know a thing or two about boats, okay? I used to be a captain, a boat captain. I have my Coast Guard license and all that stuff. I'm not naive about boats. Oh, maybe I don't have it in neutral. So I shake it a little bit. Nothing. Well, it's never done that before, says the salesperson. We didn't buy the boat. Sometimes God speaks to you. And you go, well, I don't, was that from God? I don't know if that was from God or that's just me. Is it, how do I... And then he seconds it. Not even a click. Nothing. Okay, I got it now, God. And some of us are like that. We're stubborn like me. And you got to be beat over the head about 25 times. Until finally you go. And God says, you had enough? Have you had enough? You ready to follow my lead? Because I'm going to lead you where? In green pastures. Beside still waters. I'm going to put goodness in your life. I'm going to put a song of praise in your mouth. The word gives life. We know this story. Prophesy over these bones. You know, I'm going to cause breath to enter. He's there looking out. Ezekiel's looking out over this field of just dead bones and dry bones and says, how can they be made alive again? You got any dry bones? I got some dry bones. You try to bury them and they don't bury very well. God gives them new life. God says, no, there's no dead in your life. Okay, God is the God of the living, not the dead. So there's no dead in your life. So if you're hanging on to it, it's just you hanging on to it. God ain't. How many times have you heard this lie? Well, you got to learn to forgive yourself. First of all, that would be what's called impossible. You cannot forgive yourself. You don't have the authority to do that. The only thing that can forgive you is the blood of Christ. So that's a lie to start. Well, you just got to forgive yourself before you can get on with your life. No. You put your faith in God. He forgives you, past, present, and future. He remembers your sins no more. So if you're hanging on to a dry bone, that's on you. You need to say, God's wanting to breathe life into it. God's wanting to give you new life. But we're like that old wineskin. I got to do it this way. I ain't never done it that way before. And God's like, well, when you get over yourself, yeah, let me know. And I'll put some new wine into the new wineskin, thinking I got a new way of thinking because I'm a new creation. Amen. Get rid of that old stuff. That's gone. That's over the bridge. And God don't even remember it anymore. Why are you bringing it up? Why are you remembering it? Whoo. Devil's a liar. Amen. The word gives light. You ever need a light? I need light about 2 o'clock in the morning every morning. Well, I got to get up to go to the bathroom because I'm getting old. And I'm like, man, I'm feeling the wall. And Maria changed bedrooms up on me the other day, played a trick on me. We're sleeping in the main level. We don't have air conditioner at our house. And so we're sleeping on the main level. And it's getting a little hot. So we retreat to the basement where it's minus 10 degrees automatically. So we go down in the basement. We're sleeping in the basement bedroom. And I get up and I'm like, and I end up at the window trying to, and I'm like, what is this? What? And it, because I went the wrong way going out of the bedroom trying to find the bathroom. Tripped over the dog and everything else. We need light. You can't see without light. Go in a cave. Anybody ever been in a cave? Turn your flashlight off. What happens? We need light. And we need spiritual light. His name is? Amen. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen. He comforts us. The word comforts us. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward will be very great. Who is our reward? Jesus. I get in this discussion all the time. Well, how about your eternal rewards, Chuck? You storing up those eternal rewards for heaven? You know, you storing up those treasures in heaven? Yeah, I got a treasure in heaven. His name is Jesus. I can't wait to see my treasure. Because it's all in him. There's no treasure outside of him. Trust me, I've tried it. I've tried to find it. There's no treasure outside of him. I love it. Do not fear. We know this. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to fear, except to fear God. And that means fear out of respect, out of he is who he is. He's a sovereign God. He could strike us all dead tomorrow if he wanted to. But guess what? He don't want to, because he sent his son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. He wants us to just have faith in him. Just say, hey, Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated to thee. I guess that's the song. The word accomplishes and succeeds. When you listen to the word, guys, it's going to produce in your life. It's going to produce good things. God's not in the business of planting thorns and briars. I just weed eat it around the church, and I'm pulling up weeds and thorns. And I mean, who planted this stuff? I'm like, a devil did it. You know, you ever a mosquito bite you? You go, how could God possibly create that little monster? How could God possibly create that little monster? Well, here's my thought. The mosquito was this beautiful little fly back in the day, multicolored little beautiful little fly that came along and said, hey, how are you doing? You enjoying your coffee this morning? And then the devil came along and made it mean. But no, I don't know. But there's got to be something good in that mosquito. I just know there is. Yeah. But how many times do we think that like that? So his word's not going to come back empty, is what he's saying. It's going to accomplish what he desires. What is his desire for you? That you believe in him and that you have faith in him. That's right. We'll never outlove him. We'll never outlove him. It produces faith. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing by the word of God, word of Christ. The word was God. And the word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of hate and anger and discontent. Full of laws and regulations and policies that you can't do, where he can judge you later because you weren't good enough? No, full of grace and truth. The word was God. He's clothed. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Revelation. The Word was God. And I'm going to finish up, guys. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us. How? By his Son. By his Son. Anybody stands up and says they're a prophet today, tell them, get behind me, Satan. Anybody stands up and says, oh, I'm a prophet. How much money do you want? Can I write you a is $5 okay? Or do I get blessed by how much I spend? It's ridiculous, guys. Jesus has spoken to us by his Son. He was in the beginning with God, John chapter 1, verse 2. I told you we're only make three verses. All things came into being, and we'll close out with this. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So I want you to learn something today. Who created everything? Jesus. Jesus. Well, I thought he was born in a manger in 2,000 years ago, and that's where he started. Nope. He always was, always will be. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, before Abraham was, I was. Before anything was, I was. Perfectly, perfectly in union with the Father. And the Father said, I got an assignment for you, boy. Get it done. And he did. For you. He did it for you. We can rejoice in that. Let's come forward. And sing. Father, thank you for another word. Thank you for leading us into your light that we can see. We can see evil. We can see good. We can discern. Lord, thank you for leading us. Help us to listen to you when you speak to us and understand that what makes us anxious is not from you. What gives us peace and life and joy is from you. And Lord, let us pray that more people come to this church to hear the word and that we get the word out that you're here. You're here and you're with us. And we take you wherever we go and we want to bring more people to you. So we pray that this will happen in Jesus' name. Amen.